following. All right, and welcome to Conscious Living here on 100.5 CFRO FM, 100.5 FM here in Vancouver. You are listening to Swim, Swim, Swim by Tusca. Tasha, do we have you on the line? Oh, we do not have Tasha. Where is she? Oh, here we go. Tasha, you there?
I am.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show from the warmth of your home.
Well, I have to say thank you. I mean, for most people who had a snow day, I need you to know that Mark actually went into the station, drove in, and let me stay home by the fire to do the show by phone. he's my hero.
Thanks. It was one of those things that, based on the weather, you just never knew what was going to happen, so I gave myself lots of time and took it slow and steady. And here we are. You're calling in to conduct the interview, and I just want to let you know that our guest has not called in yet.
Oh, that's great fun.
I know. It's just one of those days, right?
That's all right. We'll talk about it.
Absolutely. So that's perfect. So, Tasha, take it from here. We're here.
Well,
we're live on the air. And I even got your music queued up.
Oh, you haven't played the music yet to start the show?
Oh, yeah. I had the, I got the Swim, Swim, Swim by Tusca.
Got my track.
I got your stuff. I love it how you prepared the music, but when you weren't physically here, it was a little different for us.
It's sort of a weird song to be playing considering we're in snow madness, but I just sort of pictured, like when I go out with Lucy in the snow, my pup, she thinks she's on the beach, and she behaves exactly as if the snow was sand.
That's hilarious.
So this song is kind of like that. Let's start the show off with Swim, Swim, Swim from Tusca. You're listening to Conscious Living Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Co-op Radio.
Yeah, we just played it.
Oh, I thought you said you didn't.
No, I did. Yeah.
Go ahead. Here's the hard part about being at home is I can't actually see you.
I know. It's different. I was looking to push a couple more buttons, but I only had to push one.
Okay, well, let's do good news then.
Sounds good.
I've got a little bit.
Awesome.
Okay, so this story, I just thought it was so sweet. An Uber driver in Atlanta was, you know how drivers chat and share their, you know, connect.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was sharing her story. She's got kids at home. She works as a hairdresser, juggling that with being an Uber driver. And her dream is to become a lawyer and go back to college. But she couldn't because she had debt owing the college, so she couldn't even reapply. So she tells him this story, and they get to his destination. He tips her $150 just because.
Tell me.
And yep. Then he pays off her college tuition. And all her tuition, plus the debts from before. And so she just graduated. And he went.
Wow.
I love that story.
Yeah, that's
fantastic. Stranger, total stranger.
I love it when people pay things forward with no expectation and just out of the generosity of their own heart, right?
Right, but that, and that's a big one. That's a whole college. It's somebody's entire life, a whole college degree.
Wow.
Amazing, eh?
Absolutely, it is. Well, my good news was I actually made it to the station today.
And that's very good news, because I kept wondering, what's going to happen here if neither of us can get in there?
Yeah, well, I was wondering, because I heard so many reports on the roads, and yeah, it's true, they weren't great. However, I will say that it was definitely, you know, one of those things, you have to be really careful and really slow out there. So anybody out there driving, just be careful, take your time, don't be in a rush.
Yeah, super careful. And if you don't have to drive, they're still issuing warnings saying don't go out. Even with transit, they're saying don't.
Oh,
so
wow.
Many buses were stuck, and, you know.
Yeah, I heard on Arbutus Street there was some, like, actually sideways as they started going up the hill. So, yeah, really interesting day out there today. It's Vancouver in the snow. We know what that's like.
And for all dog owners who decide at the last minute that now they need boots for their dogs, it looks like Vancouver's sold out.
That's hilarious.
So, no, but it's serious. Like, the snow gets between her paws, and she starts limping, and it's like, oh, my God, I have to lift you up now. This is so awful.
Well, and so, not just the snow, but it's the salt and things that get in there too, right?
The what?
You know, salt, if people are salting the sidewalks and things like that, that'll embed in their pads.
Right. And so they were sold out this morning. I phoned around everywhere before I took her for a hike. And so I took my own socks. And I did a hack. I just basically tied them around her legs with elastics. It was pretty cute.
Fantastic.
Little striped legs.
We improvise.
We do improvise. So speaking of improvising, has our guest called in yet?
Our guest has not called in. But, you know, we could get started, because I'm sure we can certainly talk about it. You know, we both
let's
watched
do that.
It. I'd like to play my little riddle I got from... you know, this program that we're doing. So just hang tight. I'm going to play this right here. So if anybody can figure out what this is our topic for our first half of the show.
Inside this shaker is a trickster that's both Jekyll and Hyde. It's a vital preservative, but it can corrode anything in its path. It comes from water, but it can dehydrate and desiccate. All animals need it to survive, but it's been branded the deadliest ingredient in our food supply. Is there any other condiment with more contradictions?
Well, there you have it.
And there you have it. The white stuff.
What is it? What am I?
What am I? Do we have a prize?
We are the prize that we're here today.
So that clip, I'm going to tell them, it's from a new documentary that's going to air on CBC. On the nature of things at 9 p.m. on January 17th. And it's called Pass the Salt.
Ah, there you go. It's salt, everyone. It's salt.
It's salt. So for decades, salt has been labeled bad for us. And recently, and this is what the film gets into, there are a lot of important findings showing that not just that it's important for the body, but necessary. So our filmmaker, Michael McNamara, maybe he'll still call in.
Hopefully.
Who did the film, is it's a really interesting film, as you mentioned earlier when we were talking, Mark. It doesn't answer the question fully, but it examines it from all angles.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised at, like, when he was talking about chips, which is our craving for saltiness, a salty snack. 1.5 billion spent on chips in Canada every year. 16 billion in the States. Like, it's like one of our most essential seasonings, but also our biggest villain.
Mm-hmm. And there was quite the scene in the film as well, where they're showing just all those potato chips, and it's just really makes you wonder about, you know, our consumeristic nations, you know, just what we're having to use to create just the food for everyone, let alone a potato chip.
What do you mean?
Well, that's a lot of potatoes when you start thinking of all those potato chips, and, you know, you just start thinking about the farming, the agriculture, and everything that goes into it.
That goes into it, yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
So I know in the film he started to explain how, for a long time, salt has been the explanation for high blood pressure. But now the pendulum is shifting before it was like, cut out the salt if you have heart problems. And now it's shifting to something else. Do you remember the science of behind that assumption, how it shifted? Do you remember that from the film, Mark?
I don't specifically know what you're speaking of, but if you carry on, I'd probably ring a bell.
Well, if I knew the answer, that was a question I was going to ask Michael. So if I knew the answer, I wouldn't be asking it. I just know that the studies, part of, I think, what he was saying was it all started, there was some study that was done that included an outlier, meaning some tribe in Brazil, when they were studying the effects of salt on the body. And this was a tribe that never had any salt whatsoever in anything and was sort of off the charts in terms of health. And so that, including that particular tribe, slanted the results. And that's where it sort of began, this whole assumption that salt creates the high blood pressure, or that, I mean, it basically turned salt into a villain. Salt was now a vice. But the tricky part, of course, is you can't, when you think that the body needs it, and the film gets into that, just how the body actually needs it, not only for athletes who are replenishing the electrolytes, but in so many ways. It's not like tobacco or alcohol where you can basically go, okay, cut it out. You can't cut it out because that could be even create more harm than too much.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, what I thought was interesting, too, is just how important salt is just to conduct the electricity in our body.
Well, that's what I was asking. Do you remember, do you want to give our listeners a bit of that science?
Well, I'm certainly no scientist, but what I thought was interesting when they were talking about the electrolytes and how our bodies operate on electricity and all the synapses and how our nerves really talk to each other, how salt is essential for that transmission of that impulse.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know the science behind it, but I understood what they were saying.
And, I mean, basically it results in too, you know, whether it's too much or too little, both could be really harmful.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole film is kind of exploring how do you find a sweet spot, and is it based on individuals, meaning do different people have a different genetic propensity in terms of how they process salt and how it affects them. So what I loved was when the filmmaker talked about this theory of evolutions, that we came from sea creatures,
mm-hmm.
so we carry the ocean deep inside of us. It was so poetic as a way of explaining our desire affinity for salt, because think about it, everybody uses salt. It's such an essential flavoring, the most essential
mm-hmm.
flavoring, I think, out of all of them.
Yeah, well, it's one of those, you know, call it a spice, but it was one of those things that, you know, was just everywhere. And I thought it was a really, excuse me one moment, I thought it was a really unique kind of test that they did in the Stratford kitchen when they had all those cooking students in there, and they were measuring how much salt they actually used over the course of the evening's dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And that they'd made it, all the food, in such a way that they don't even put salt and pepper shakers on the table.
Most high-end places don't. Their assumption is, we've done it perfectly. You're insulting us if you add anything to this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought it was a fascinating study, though, regardless of the fact that it didn't say it was good for us or bad for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, and the scientific research has been very difficult, I think, to get in an accurate way. Part of that is, how do you measure it, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long would somebody be in a study? You'd have to measure it over a longer period of time. And so I know in the film they talked about a Russian project. It was a Mars 500 project where they actually had those folks for at least a month or something, and they could measure. And some of the discoveries they made, at least there's a cardiologist in the film who unequivocally states that there were no detrimental side effects.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that was not in any of the studies. But also, like I was saying, 99% of the studies were flawed. Only 9 were valid. They showed no benefits to salt restriction. But that's only 9 studies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought the controlled study of those kind of fake cosmonauts who went in for 18 months into that, you know, fake space station, really, how they were able to actually monitor everything people ate, how much sodium and what was going on, and then the fact that, you know, as they were giving them all the healthy stuff that they need based on what everybody thinks we need, and then they couldn't find the salt in their body.
Yes.
Right, until they actually did those MRIs.
Right, which is all recent stuff, too, for an MRI to be able to detect sodium.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. No,
and wasn't there also a piece, isn't that where they got the thing of as people age, they store more sodium?
Yeah, in their muscles.
In the muscles. And I'm not sure what that means. Like, that's why I wish we had Michael on here so we could ask him the science questions.
Yeah, it was. I just thought it was really interesting because we've heard, you know, throughout my lifetime, you know, the detriment of salt. And what they're finding is, as you were just alluding to, that there is no real detriment. However, when combined with sugar and fat and no exercise and other foods and things, that's when it starts becoming a combined, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for, but it's a combined effect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that documentary, again, will be January 17th on CBC. If this interests you at all, it's on The Nature of Things, 9 p.m. And I believe that it's – I think it's The Nature of Things. Isn't that Suzuki?
Yeah, David Suzuki. I believe he narrates it.
Oh, right. Oh, the other thing we should mention is Vancouver Island Sea Salt.
Yeah, I
wanted
to bring that up.
Which is a Canadian company. And so they're in the film. And what was cool, I found that very cool, to see how salt is, I guess the word isn't even mined.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what word you would use, but it's not made. Gathered, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just a cool company in terms of how they're doing it. So you'll see that, too, in the film when you watch.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's interesting how, you know, we're seeing, you know, craft breweries and all mm-hmm. these different things in regards to these really fine foods and the craftsmanship and the love, and instead of something being mass produced,
mm-hmm.
How, you know, the Vancouver Island guys, I thought was really quite interesting because they're using seawater and they were getting those beautiful, beautiful salt crystals. And
yeah.
I thought it was so funny to see them so excited about a salt crystal, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about salt crystals. I absolutely am nuts about different kinds of salts.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought Vancouver Island sea salt, which I love because I think I bought a different flavor of it, but my favorite salt is a rosemary. It's got little pieces of rosemary and garlic in it. Oh, just heaven. I'm addicted.
Yeah, well, they're certainly doing some nice things, and I know that salt, or that type of salt, because I've enjoyed it myself, and you're right, the way they're mixing different things and changing up, you know, just regular iodized salt that came in the white and blue box. You know, there's so much more to choose from. And, you know, knowing and seeing what they were, you know, really alluding to in this show, that, you know, you really have to be aware of your own body and what's going on within you in terms of the consumption of your salt or anything else for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
because there really is no definitive thing here. And I mean, especially, so we're talking about salt, but it's been that way with fat. It's been that way with, you know, eggs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're good for you, they're bad for you. They're good for you, they're bad for you. Each, you know, few years, the whole study changes the focus on what people think we should and shouldn't be eating. And I think you're right that listening to one's own body is, how can you go wrong? Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's just, you know, when we talk about consciousness and an awareness, is knowing what effect is, you know, things that we put in our body are having, whether it's salt or, you know, alcohol or anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I thought it was just really fascinating because it really kind of debunked the myth around salt, even though it wasn't definitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it left you asking the questions and left it kind of in your lap still.
Mm-hmm. And really, you know, because some people, you know, I personally don't use a lot of salt. You know, I might cook with a little bit and use a little bit after, but I'm always very mindful of how much I use. And not that I don't like it, but if it's too much. And that's the one thing I thought was interesting in the documentary as well, where they were talking about, you know, a little is one thing, too much will ruin something.
Oh, it's a nightmare, you know? Right?
Oh,
when it's too much.
You make that one slip in your dish.
Yeah.
There's no going back.
Have you ever tried to get to get the salt level down? I mean, you either water it down, in which case you lose the flavor. I've tried putting in a potato to suck it up. I mean, I just remember having those, you know, cooking disaster moments where I'm trying to get rid of the saltiness, and it's very difficult to do.
Well, I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too funny.
Well,
I was hoping he was going to call in. We had it all set up. But I hope we give our listeners, you know, enough to listen to that inspires them to go take a look at this documentary. And they can also watch it online, which is something I wanted to bring up. CBC does a lot of stuff online as well now. So Nature of Things will be airing online also. And on consciousliving.org, excuse me, I've got it all up right now. So you can follow the links there. And that's another 2 days, so that's going to be Friday it airs on the 17th on
Perfect.
CBC, right?
Pass the Salt, 9 p.m. live, and then as Mark, as you're saying, all our links are at consciouslivingradio.org. So we're going to talk about 2020. We have Rose Marcus coming up. Let's play a track and then come back to looking at our new year, shall we?
Sounds good. So we're going to be listening to Miracle Love by Matt Corby. So this will be a new track. I haven't heard this one myself before. So, Tasha, thanks again for...
home, she brings.